How you all doing? Good. It's good to be back, isn't it? That is our flag, so that's the reason why I brought it up. And since this is July the 4th weekend, surely. And do you notice some people have these same ties on? I like these guys. These are pretty good guys. Hope you all had a good week. I know it's probably like my mind was busy. Or any of you plan on going out to do any fireworks anywhere? Anybody? My neighbor in the backyard, he has a fireworks pretty good show by himself. He had a little one last night. He'll have a better one tonight. And boy, by Sunday night, he'll put them off. I don't know how much money he spends, but he must have a lot of money is all I got to say. But he sure does it. The trouble is he doesn't quit early either. That's the problem. He goes about midnight. Well, as you know, this is July the 4th weekend. And it is a great weekend when you realize what it's celebrating. Because this is celebrating the country that you and I live in. And what a great country it was. As Mr. Barker was talking about it, you know, it's probably the greatest nation there is. Probably ever was, and probably will be until God the Father returns and Holy City Jerusalem set up, and there's nothing like that, and we're hoping to all be there. So that's the thing we're working towards. I do have a question for you, though. Are you glad you live here? Are you proud you live here? I'm sure most of us are, but can you believe the world we have around us today? They don't appreciate because they've been taught, especially young ones coming up, we're not a good country. We have done more for other people than probably any other country in the world. We are so giving and so kind. And it's really become a deficit to us because you see what's happening is you're trying to buy friends. You cannot buy friends. They'll take all you give them. And as soon as you quit giving, they hate you because they are jealous of you. And that's what's wrong with most of the countries around the world. But boy, they'll take anything we give them. And you know what? You and I are going to give these people the best thing they've ever had when we're in God's kingdom. And we get to help them understand what a great God and what a great world they have an opportunity to be a part of. Or universe, or whatever it is we're going to be a part of. We're going to be a part of everything, and we only know very little of what God has done. But that's what God has called you and I to be a part of. And He's allowed you and I to live in this wonderful country of the United States. And you know, as long as we obey God, we're going to be with Him. As long as we pick Him and choose Him first. We are blessed as a nation, not because of anyone except for our forefathers. No, it wasn't Adam, as you know. Adam didn't make it. Forefather was Abraham. Turn with me to Genesis 12, if you will, please. Verse 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. First thing he told him he had to do was what? Go away from his family, his friends. and go out and totally trust him and go to some foreign land. And of course, Abraham did this. But you know, that's what God asks of each of us. When he opens our hearts and minds to understand his truth, we've been given something that the rest of the world does not understand. And when we take the plunge, and we say, yes, sir, and we take baptism, we say, yes, we will do your will. We will do what you say. We will change. We will grow. We're doing the same thing that Abraham did, because a lot of us have had to leave families. A lot of us have had families turn against us. We've had friends turn against us. They think we're crazy. But you and I know it's true. You and I have been blessed to know that this is the way of life, eternal life. It's not for 100 years or 105 or 15 or 20, whatever. We know that with God, there's a never-ending world we're going to be in. It's eternal life. It's forever. And of course, we do not understand forever. But that's what God has called you and I into, just as he asked Abraham to go away from what he was surrounded with, familiar things, his family, and he says, step out here and follow me. And that's what he has asked you and I to do. And that's what we're doing now. Because to the world, we probably look kind of foolish sometimes to them and say, why wouldn't they work on Saturday? Man, they can make some extra money. That's time and a half. You know, I mean, come on. That's a lot of money. But as Abraham did, he had faith in God, he trusted God, and he followed him. And that's exactly what you and I have to do. Now, he had direct contact with God, which you and I don't have at this point, but we do have God's Word. So that is direct contact. It's a way that he keeps in touch with each of us. And we're better than the Israelites in that part, because they only got to hear it from the priest on the Sabbath. And I used to always wonder, and I'm sure you may have too, how could they walk away when they've seen all these miracles the Israelites did? Different times where God fought the battles for them and they won. Or he'd just tell them to shout, and then the people start killing each other people with them. And they win. They didn't do anything but what God told them to do, and did exactly as God told them to do it. Well, that's what you and I have to do. We have to put off this world that we live in. We have to come out of this world and do exactly what God says. And as we know, it's not easy, because we have all fallen. We have all sinned. Jesus Christ died for each and every one of us and for the whole world. But with God's help, with his Holy Spirit in us, with his love for us, with his patience, his mercy, we're going to be able to be kings and priests. That's our calling. And we're going to be teachers of those who do not understand today. So we must realize that we have to always study and pray, because we have to become teachers. We're not just going to be sitting around like we are now. You're going to be preaching. You're going to be teaching God's way of life. You know, you're going to be before maybe 100, maybe, I don't know, 150, 200 people. I don't know how many people you'll be before. But you're going to be teaching them God's way of life. And we're also going to be the lights to them. And that's what we're to be to the world now. In verse 7, Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your descendants I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. One thing about God, he's always told Israelites, he's always told us, what we get if we obey him, we get blessings. And we'll go to Deuteronomy 28. We'll read just a little bit of it. It's the blessing chapter. Deuteronomy 28, 1-6 we'll read. It says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey, and the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the earth." High above the nations. "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways." This is what he's telling the nation of Israel. In verse 9 he says, "The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself." A holy people to himself. "Just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his way." We have the same thing. It's exactly what God's telling. He, as it says, he's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. God never changes. God never changes. His way is perfect and right. So in verse 14, he also says, "So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right hand or to the left to go after other gods to serve them." That's exactly what he tells us. We're not to be taken in by Satan. He's the god of this world at this time, only because God has allowed him to be over this world. His time is coming. His time will end. But if we obey, we will be protected, we will be blessed, we will have everything we need. That's why as a people, you and I need to make sure that we're doing our best, and when we fall short, that we repent quickly. Because if you don't repent quickly, it drags on and it gets harder to take care of the problem that you have or that you have had. And if you don't take care of it finally, it'll take you under. And if we don't believe that, at one time in Dayton, Ohio, we had almost 800 people in God's church. Somehow, some way. Some of them has been deceived or followed after another god or gone back to where they come from. And when you do that, it's worse than the first time. Talks about going back to the dog's vomit. None of us want to do that. Last time I spoke was in Matthew 5. And talk about being the salt of the earth, and we're not to lose our flavor. We're to always be the salt of the earth, and we're always to be that light that I talked about back in Matthew 6, 5, 12 through 14, I believe, or 16. Now here's what the Lord says to Israel if they disobey. If they disobey. In verse 15. "But it shall come, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe everything carefully, all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you." Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall you be in the basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall you be in the fruit of your body and in the produce of your land, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flocks. Cursed shall you be when you cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you cursings, confusion, and rebuke in all that you set your hand to do, until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the wickedness of your doings in which you have forsaken me. Very strong words. Very strong words. It's the exact same thing applies to us today in our obedience and loyalty to God. As just as they were before us. Our nation as a whole is choosing the way of the wrong master. And many are doing the exact same thing. As you see the world, what's becoming in the last, since this pandemic, how quick it has changed around. You know, years ago, when the, I don't know what you call them now, but anyhow, the gays and queers when I was a kid, you know, we always had them, but they never flaunted it in your face. They never flaunted it and said, you have to accept me and you have to believe in me and be agreeing that it's okay for me to be this way. And it took them, I don't know how many years, I don't know when they first started, but it sounds like back in the Bible time is even some of this stuff going on, so it's been a long time. But you know, the thing that I noticed the most about, I say 5 years ago now, time flies sometimes, but whenever Jenner became this, whatever, he is now a girl, or says he's a girl, whatever. God only made two sexes, male and female. Anything other than that, I'd say it's almost abomination to God. But anyhow, that was accepted immediately. Do you realize within just a few months after he did that, he was on the front of a magazine being paraded around as a great thing that he had done? Now to me, that gives me an idea how quick our country has fallen. And now we got what we have now, what's being taught in schools and stuff. And it's going down so quick. Are we aware of it? Are we aware of how bad our country is sinning? What it must be to God. And God will only put up with so much of it. That's what he told the Israelites. And we know God's returning. We don't know when, the hour of the day. But we need, he said, not to be asleep. Be alert what's going on. You and I must make sure during this time that we draw closer to God every day. We must be sure that you and I choose the right master that we talk about in Matthew 6:24. Turn there. Because you see, Satan makes the other master look pretty good. Because sometimes we get wrapped up in physical stuff, money, prestige, you know, whatever it may be. But in Matthew 6:24, it tells you, no one can serve two masters. No one. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is the basically putting physical things before God. Just like he told the Israelites, you have to come out of this world. You have to come out of away from what this world is. Because if you hang around it, The sludge may get to you and swallow you up. This is exactly what it gets down to. Because after a while they convince you, oh, well, that's not too bad. That's just the way people are. You know, you can't say you had something wrong. They take your freedom of speech away. And that's what they're trying to do now. So be aware of what's going on, is all I'm trying to say to everyone. Don't let this deception deceive you and take you away from the living God. Because we need to study more now than ever. We need to take a look at ourselves more now than ever. And it's definitely going to be a hard thing for the churches later on. Because they're going to try and go after the churches. I just heard on the news, I think this morning or yesterday, maybe you've heard it, where they're talking about what one of the big internet people are doing now. They're talking people, you can tell about other people on internet or something. And that's what they say that it did in Germany then, was had people turn against people. See, and all of a sudden they're going to say, well, you shouldn't like her. Did you see what they said and such and such? They're no good. They're that. And if people don't know you, they could take it. And before long, they'll do just as Nazis them did. They'll put you in jail, push you away. Are you ready for it? That's my question today. Are we ready for what's coming? Are we ready? Are we ready to give up everything? Because, you know, we all still have families. And we love them. We have grandchildren. We love them. Are you willing to give up God for them? Or when God calls and we're to go, will you leave? Stop and think about that for a second. That's going to be a horrible time in your lives, my life, everybody's life. Because we've never had anything like it. You never had someone trying to tell you, oh, you're wrong. Oh, please don't go. These people are crazy. You're following da-da-da and da-da-da. But it's coming. It is coming. Now, I don't know how soon, but it's going down quickly compared to what it was 30 years ago or 40 and 50 years ago when I came in. We talked about a time and it was only a few years away. And that's been 40 years ago now. So as I tell people now, I'm 40 years closer now than I was then to God's return. And so are you. And He is returning. I'm sorry to say, but the greatest nation, the United States, is going to fall. And when it does, it's coming down with a thud. And we better be ready and close to our God. We need to make sure that we're truly putting Matthew 6:33, where I stopped in my sermon last time. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What is God's righteousness? His laws. His laws. And if they become our righteousness, we will be with Him when He returns. If we don't, will we be able to stand the persecution? I don't mean to scare anybody, but I think we need to get reality. Life is coming, life is happening, and we need to think about this. On this July the 4th, celebrating the United States, is nothing like it was 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. More a downhill slant. You know, once you start rolling the rock down, unless you got a lot of power, you can't stop it. As Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, for disobedience, for not being loyal, for not obeying God. We can't be too. We can lose it. We don't want to lose it. Do you think if Adam and Eve had to choose over again, they would not have eaten of the tree of good and evil? Tree of life, they were not told they couldn't eat. And they must never have eaten it. Or they had, right? They had life forever. So the two trees were there, and Satan convinced them, well, convinced her, and he did too, that she should eat it because it's a fine-looking piece of fruit. Good to the taste. And surely God wouldn't kill you. No, don't believe that. God wouldn't kill you. He made you. Don't worry, you're fine. He just doesn't want you to be exactly like Him. And when you eat this, you're going to be like Him right now. That's why He doesn't want you to eat it. Well, He probably knew to do that one time. And that may not be the exact words He used, I don't know, but it's exactly what it got down to. That they finally said, yeah, it does look good. Yeah, I would like to be that way. And they partook of it. Oops, what happened? They found out for the first time they were naked. Wow. They'd been there for a while and never even knew it. Didn't know a thing, just like a baby. You ever seen an innocent baby? They take off that diaper and away they go. You know, they don't think a thing about it. Boy, girl, who cares? Here we go. You know. But that's what they were. They were that innocent. That innocent. They had no idea until they ate of the fruit. If we're eating of the fruit, which we all do, sorry to say at times, because that's why we have to have Passover every year, let's be sure we become more aware of it, that we quit eating of the fruit. Because that fruit will take us out of God's kingdom. You and I have been given the blessing of knowing God. And we truly have been blessed above all people. Being down at ABC this year, I'm trying to think, one of the men was telling us, Aaron Dean. He was telling about how some of the people from our brethren from other countries come over and they bring them into the country, you know, and they fly them in and take care of them and they stay with some of the ministry people there. And they're just shocked, totally shocked. They can't believe it. They can't believe what we've got. They don't believe how freedom it is, how much food you can have and how you can make this and that, because they don't have it where they're from. And one time he said he had some people over from some country. I don't know if they were in the church or not, but they always say the people come in, they're just amazed when they go and stay in their homes with them. They just can't believe it. But he said these guys were, I forget what they were. I don't think they was in the church, but they came to these homes for some reason, for a business thing or something, from another foreign country that was, I'm not exactly sure. So, but anyhow, what they got there was they said, well, 12 families could live in this home. And there were 12 families in my home. Hey, I had one more family in my home. That was almost more than I wanted, I'm telling you right now. It definitely changed my world. How was that for a while? But it was good in one way, but I don't know if I'd want to do it for another, you know, my whole life. Because I'm not used to all that noise and young people running around and, you know, I'm past that stage. I want peace, quiet. But no, it was good having them, you know. And it's good that we got to know them better because we didn't know them that well. Because they were out in California or Washington. So, you know, we only got to see them twice a year. And that was probably, at the most, probably 10 to 14 days in that period. They'd come home for Thanksgiving about 5 or 6 days. And we'd go out for about 10 or 12 days. In the summer, usually. Not every year, but almost every year. But anyhow, we don't want to take for granted what we have. We don't realize how spoiled we are. And if you heard what the president did, handing over our things that we're worried about, our grid and all this and that, to Russia, I bet he almost bought him a steak for saying, give me this stuff. What's your weak points that you can't take care of? If they knock out the grids and stuff, what are you going to do? We think it's bad when we have a lightning strike and you're out with electricity for 5 hours, or maybe a day. You say, oh, man. What if you're without electricity? What if you're without water? What if you're without a lot of things? And now we're going to have all electric cars. And I saw the funniest thing on, I don't know who put it, I think somebody in the church put it on Facebook, about they had this nice big post standing there and they was plugging in an electric car. Back behind it, about 35, 40 feet, was this big diesel generator making electricity. Now, what does that run on? Oh, I'm sorry, fossil fuel. I about laughed my head off when I saw that. I said, that shows how dumb people are. If you don't have the fossil fuel, you ain't going to have electricity. And if you don't believe it, even with all these solar panels, that California has blackouts all the time when it gets hot out. What is it when they make everybody drive electric cars? You know, let me just something to think about. But things can change. We've got used to air conditioning. I remember as a kid, we didn't go in the house till 10 o'clock at night because it was so hot when in the summertime. You ate supper, and when you come out, you was wringing wet. You go outside and stay out till it got dark and have the fans on you and go to bed. Young people today have no idea what that's like. Or being in a place where you just have a coal stove in the kitchen and the house, you can put glass of water on your window ledge and the next morning it's froze and you're in there covered up about 20 blankets trying to stay warm. Most of the people have no idea what that is. Have no idea. What are we going to do? We have been spoiled too, don't get me wrong. We are so used to everything being ready-made and everything. We're the same way. We forget how much. We say, well, yeah, but I could go back to that. No, you couldn't, because you're old and you can't do the stuff you used to do. I proved that to myself so many times in the last couple of years, I don't even like to talk about it. So you ain't going to carry the wood in like you used to and say, oh, I can take care of it. Oh, I don't mind taking ashes out, da-da-da, and all this and that. Oh, yeah, you do. It's a lot of work. You were younger then. People were used to it then. And you didn't keep your house at 72 degrees. You kept the one room at 72, and everybody ran to that room when I was a kid. And I remember I'd get warmer on one side and turn around, and by the time I got the other side warm, the other side was cold again, so I'd turn back around. Now, a few of you are laughing. See, I know you've been there. See? Young people have no idea. What are they going to do? They're used to this. Playing games. Getting smart. You know what? I lost my phone the other day. And I think I got a call. And I left my mother-in-law's. And I didn't know where I lost it. I was over doing some stuff for her. And I came back home. And next morning I got up and said, I can't find my phone anywhere. I said, I've been calling her phone number with our regular phone. I said, I can't find my cell phone. I don't know. Well, I said, oh, I'll find it for you. Oh, it's over at Grandma's. I have this thing here. I can tell you where you're at. I said, oh, you keep track of me, huh? She says, yeah. I go, ooh. Ooh. But she said, it's over at Grandma's. I said, well, I kept trying to figure out where it's at because I thought I'd come straight from Grandma's home, you know, da, da, da. And, of course, I had phone numbers. And I was a day late answering them. But got used to the modern things too, you know. But I'm just trying to make us realize things aren't going to stay this way. And we better be getting ourselves prepared. We enjoy the things we got, don't get me wrong. Turn with me to Mark 22:14. It's in Matthew, verse same thing in Matthew, but Mark, I'll just change it to make it different. Because you heard that one. 14:22. Is that right? Nope, I got the wrong thing. Anyhow. I I want to go where that we're chosen. I have to go back to Matthew or Mark. Somebody help me. I lost it. I just went blank. Huh? Yeah. 22:14. Yeah, okay. I put down Mark. Sorry. Matthew 22:14. It's in Mark somewhere too, but I forget. I was going to put it down the wrong things. Thank you. You know, we take this for granted sometimes. We take it for granted that God has called each of us. We should never take it for granted, because look at all the people out there who have no idea. There are multi times people who don't know anything about God, or very little, because they've been deceived. You know? But it says in Matthew 22:14, "For many are called, but few are chosen." And when God opened our minds to be chosen, then you finally opened your mind and accepted what God gave you, and you came along and said, "Yeah, I want this. This is true. I understand it." And then we work towards baptism, because you want to be a part of God's family now and forever. Because you're going to be happy now and happy then, even happier. Because it's going to be utopia. Think about utopia. None of us understand utopia. But we know it's a thing that means it's really great. And it's really going to be wonderful. And if we're doing God's work, he's got all these planets out here for some reason. He's got them out here for some reason. You don't think he's going to take care of them or do something with them, and we may be a part of it? I would certainly think so. That's just my ex. You know, that's my, what do you call it? My insert for the day. That's day 4-4, whatever you want to call it. But anyhow, but God isn't going to just let us sit around. We've got something to do. We're not going to just stop after God's kingdom's here. We're at the center of the power. God's city is going to be here. We're going to be a part of that city, working from that city to the rest of the universe. You know, Christ died for each of us. John 3:16-17, you've heard many times. But he did that out of love, not just for you and me. But he did the calling. He did just call you and me. And the others he's called. But the others have to wait. But he sent his son for everyone. In John 3:16, he tells you, he didn't just say just for you people who understand now. Because we are all his family. This whole universe is his. Ooh, I'm running late. Okay, I got to move on. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Only God can promise that. You know, even when Christ was tempted, he just told Christ that he could give him everything that's on the earth, right? He said, "This can all be yours. Everything you see." Imagine Christ is saying, "Are you kidding me? This is nothing." Because he knew God. But he also knew, being, you know, physical, he had to fast, because he knew as a human being he could fail. So God has called you and I to something that is just magnificent. You and I have to make sure that we understand that Jesus Christ, I'm not going to read it, but I'm going to tell you, John 14:1-7, Christ said that he went up to what? He is preparing a mansion for those who are God's. Does that mean your name's on there now? And we take it away if we fall? I don't know. But he says, "I'm going to prepare a mansion for you." Do we want to give it up? That's our choice. Our hearts have been opened and our minds have been opened to the truth of God, to the love of God, to the mercy of God. We've been called to be the lights of the world, we talked about last time I spoke in Matthew 5, 14, 16. We're to be doers now. We have to be doers in this world that is Satan's world. We have to be doing God's work. That's in James 1, 22 to 25. We've got to be guided by God's Holy Spirit, that God gave us a baptism. A baptism. We received God's Holy Spirit that we can overcome the evil one through Jesus Christ. We must always seek God's kingdom first. Because if we don't, Satan will deceive us just as he did Adam and Eve. We have to keep that in the forefront. And Satan will do everything he can to take it out of the forefront of our eyes. When we have problems, we can always go to God. God says, come to me. In Matthew 7. I finished with that, I think, last time. I think 6:33 in Matthew 7. Let's go to Matthew 7. It says, and my thing here, it says, keep asking, seeking, and knocking. In black letters above verse 7, it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. We all we have to do is seek, ask, and it'll be opened. We have a direct line to God the Father through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Our God is love. You know He is. John 4:7 tells you God is love. We need to make sure that you and I love, obey, and keep God's laws. That you and I will be at the next holy day when Jesus Christ returns with Christ. Feast of Trumpets, when Christ comes back. Those who are dead will be raised, and those who are alive will be raised. That's where you and I want to be. That means we're going to be kings and priests in God's kingdom forever. That's what God has called you and I to be. He has not called us to fail. He has given us the same thing He gave the Israelites. If you obey me, this is what I have for you. If you disobey me, this is what you're going to have. Let's be sure we fear our God in the right way. Because He's the one who can destroy both body and spirit. As we work towards going towards the Feast of Trumpets, let's be sure we keep looking at ourselves daily and saying, am I seeking God first and His righteousness? Because that's the only way you and I will stay true and focused, that we will be a part of God's kingdom with Him forever. Let's be sure we are at the Feast of Trumpets when Christ returns, and we can be the ones help defeat this terrible world that we've been a part of because of eating of the tree of good and evil.